Knife Talk is sponsored by Evenheat, the manufacturer of the finest knife heat treat ovens available. Find your next heat treat oven at evenheat-kiln.com. So welcome to episode 15 of Knife Talk. Now on today's episode we have a knife maker from my adopted country, France. And some of you may have seen him in the recent Forged in Fire International Championship representing his country. So it's Julien Manguelier. So welcome to the show, Julien.
Thank you very much, and I'm really happy to be here.
Well, it's really great to speak with somebody in the same time zone for a change.
Oh, thanks.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a kind of very curious guy. I've done like 50 different jobs in my life, and I was always looking for pleasure in my kind of job.
Yes.
So I've done like a cool job, like I was a cowboy in Kingsville in Texas. I was a ski mobile guide in a ski resort in France. I was ski instructor as well. I was a whisperer, horse whisperer before as well. I used to work in the security. I used to travel a lot. I used to be a soldier as well. I'm just too curious sometimes, but it's a lot of life experience. It's really cool now that I'm getting older. It's good memories now.
Exactly. So what got you into making knives, into forging?
The thing is that with my ex-wife, we bought a house in, it was like 6 years ago, in a place where I used to be when I was young. So it's back to my racine, is that right?
Back to your roots.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was a place where I felt good. So I split the house in two, one for us and the other one for a workshop. But I didn't know what's doing inside. Hmm. And I was looking on internet some videos of woodworking, iron working, and I fell in love with a French knife maker who is Chris Millon. And he do knives, I'll do the same. He got the same road as me. He just quit everything to start a new life. So I said, okay, fine, he's going to be my model. And I spent like a year and a half just trying to understand. And by the time I got some new friends, new knife makers who gave me some tips so I could learn even faster. And at each knife, my friends
would tell me.
I got a problem with the grammar.
As I say, your French is, your English is far better than my French, so it's all
okay.
Good.
Thanks.
It's all good.
And all my friends, give me some new advice to get further in my work. So, but I'm still a baby.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're all still learning, aren't we? We're always learning.
Yeah.
So what about your style of knife, or your style of making? Would you say it's traditional?
The problem in France, that the traditional knives are folders, mostly folders. So I'm not used to do some folders because it takes me so much time. There's so much precision. So it's not my way of working. I'm a bit messy, you know. My workshop is a big dump. It's horrible sometimes. But I mostly do fixed blade.
Yes.
Like pukos. I really like the pukos because you can change the shape, make some different shape, and change the wood. food, and you can do almost everything you want with the Puco.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a really easy shape to do.
Yeah, and is that with a hidden tang?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's get the forged in fire questions out of the way first. So I'm sure everybody wants to know, because I mean, watching the show, you had a great character on the show. It was great to watch.
Yeah.
So how did that happen? Did they contact you?
Not really, not me. I had a friend who was on the internet and said, "Hey, Forge in Fire, contact me to do the show." Hmm. I was a bit jealous. I have to say that. I was jealous. That's normal. I said, why him and not me? No. So I just asked on the Facebook page, "Hey, come on, are you doing some international show?" And they told me, "No." Okay, fine. Hmm. That's okay. But I have a friend who lives in America whose name is Bastien. He's Bastinelli Knife.
Hmm.
He's a very famous French tactical knife maker. And his friend was Doug Marquette. I was one of the judges.
Oh, and, yes, yeah.
Yes. And Doug asked him, "Hey, come on, Bast, do you know some French bladesmiths? We can do the show?" And he said, "Yes, I got a friend who just asked me a few weeks ago. So I can give you his mail." And he gave my mail. And maybe 3 hours after, Doug just called me.
Wow. So you're in the right place at the right time. And
exactly.
Everything worked out.
I'm sorry for the word, but it has to. I'm fucking lucky. Really, really, really. All the time, all my life, I've been fucking lucky. Sorry.
Oh, it's completely
fine. There's nothing to do with my talent.
Pardon the French. So there was a lot of love in that studio. So did you make friends with the other contestants? Because I know you've been hanging out with Trolsky since the show.
Oh, my God. Yes. We're like bro. Because we all come from different country, and we have this passion to share together, this common point. So it was much stronger than if we were from the same country, you know?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So it was amazing. At the time we met at the hotel, we just became friends.
That's...
And at the end of the show, we became bro.
Yeah, and you could really see on the show as well, there was lots of hugging, lots of kissing. It was really nice to see.
Yeah, it wasn't a competition for us. We've seen it as like a hammering.
Hmm. Yes, yeah.
You know, I was there to learn, so not to win. Anyway, no one was there to win.
Yeah. So what did you learn from the show?
Oh my God. I learned that sometimes I speak too much on TV. I said too much things. But no, I learned a lot about the weld, because we didn't do any welding stuff during the show, but we used to talk about it. So with J.W. Randall, we talked about the petrol weld without borax. And we spoke a lot about this specifically technique, because it doesn't break the forge. You know, the borax is really aggressive.
Yes, yeah.
for the forge. So it teach me how to weld with just petrol or kerosene.
Ah, oh.
Even the dry weld.
Cool.
So, and, you know, the problem is to understand some technical terms. So it's really hard to share some really techniques with precision.
Hmm.
So we talk a lot. And but it opened some doors, so now I have to dig a bit more on my own.
Yes, yeah. So do you keep the blades that you make on the show? I mean, that's if they haven't been completely destroyed by all that crazy testing that they do.
The first one, the producer keep it, but it was brand new, still razor sharp at the end, anyway. So. And the second one, the sword, the spadrun, it's coming back in probably a month.
Oh, great.
Yeah, they send it back to me, and I offer it to my sponsor, because they offer me a ProForge BF200 for free.
Very nice.
So I have to.
So let's back up a little bit. So you say you've been forging for about 6 years. When did that turn into bladesmithing?
No, 3 years forging.
Oh, right, about 3 years. Okay.
Just 3 years, three and a half now.
So you've been making blades for that sort of time as well then?
Sorry, I didn't understand.
So you've been making blades for that sort of 3.5 years?
Yeah. Just that, every day.
Okay, cool. Is your forge at home?
Yes, just near my kitchen. my kitchen.
Great. So is this a full-time job for you now? Is this what you do every day?
Almost a week, 2 weeks a month, because my other job is a full-time daddy.
Yes, yeah, which is a full-time job, yes, yeah.
Yes, but yes, it's a full-time job anyway. I've only this to live.
Yeah. Okay. So where do you sell your work, and how do you promote the business?
Until now, I usually sell it on Facebook. Hmm. That's my only communication thing, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And for those who are yet to follow Julien on Facebook, you really should. His little videos are very, very entertaining.
Yeah, you should go on. But since the TV show went on, I got like one shop in Geneva who want to sell my blade, and I got another shop in France who want to sell my blade as well. So that's cool. Make me confident for the future.
Yes, yeah. Oh, very good, very good. So how did you get your very first knife commission when you started out? How did you get that very first job?
Oh, my first customer was a friend of mine. It's always like that, you know?
Yes, yeah. Then friends tell friends and friends, yeah.
Quench, there's no real heat treat on it, so you just sell it for 10 euro, you know?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you lost money at the beginning anyway.
Yeah. And I think you always look back and see those first knives and say, geez, they were so bad. But each knife you make is better and better and better, yeah.
Yes, yes. I kept my 6 months production at home, and I can see the difference. Especially for me, because I'm a beginner, so I grow up very fast. Every 2-3 months, I learn a new technique, so it goes better and better every 2 months almost.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And do
that's
you,
crazy.
Do you do everything in-house there? Do you do everything yourself? So all of the forging, all of the heat treating?
Yes, forging, heat treat, the handle in wood, or sometimes I use deer horn, or stabilized wood or leather, and I do the sheath as well.
Oh, very nice, very nice.
Yeah, I have to do everything because if for a fixed blade, if you don't have any sheath, it's harder to sell it.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes.
And so, I like working on leather. Really like it.
I've never tried it, but some of the skill I've seen on some people is just incredible.
Yeah, and it's really reposing. No, it makes you quiet. You know.
Mm, yeah,
it's Zen attitude.
It's a calm thing to do, I suppose. Yeah.
Yes, that was a word.
So what is your sharpening process? Do you use stones? Do you go direct from the grinder? How do you normally sharpen? Let's talk about one of our sponsors, Tormach. To get great razor-sharp and repeatable edges, you're going to need a Tormach. To find out more, go to tormach.com, which is T-O-R-M-E-K.com. Okay, let's get back to the show.
I usually sharp on the grinder because it's an easier way and faster. I used to do some kiridashi that I used to sharp with the stone because it's easier, you know, that the chisel edge is really easy to sharp. But normally I use the grinder, and after the polish, the things to make it shiny. You know, it's a green pasta, really hard. You put it on the cotton wheel.
Ah, right, yeah, the rouge, the green rouge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, just to finish the sharpening edge.
Okay, cool. So of all the different processes, as you say, you do them all. So you do the forging, you do the heat treating, you do everything.
I'll do everything.
What is your least favorite bit?
You know what? It depends.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I just want to forge, and sometimes I just want to grind, and sometimes I get some really nice wood, so I just want to do handles. I'm just working by pleasure, so I don't have a structure like, okay, today I'm forging, tomorrow I'm grinding, and after tomorrow I'm doing the handle. No, I'm just doing like I want, you know?
Yes, yeah.
There's no plan.
Yeah,
I guess I have to make some.
Well, I'm pretty similar. So I've got, I love shaping a blade, you know, roughing out a blank and shaping it. So I've got hundreds of blades that I've shaped out, but I just, you know, I then move on to something else. Like, oh, that's a cool shape, but I never get around to finishing it.
Yeah.
So what are you finding challenging, if anything, that you're finding difficult, that maybe you're struggling with, that you haven't quite mastered yet? What was it you're spending your time on?
For me, most difficult things is to be to have the most precision on my heat treat with my forge, because I'm learning a lot about the color. I'm not learning. I would like to buy a quenching oven, but it's too easy.
you want the challenge.
yes, but you know, I'm living up to a mountain, so life here is a challenge anyway.
Yes,
you know, well, you have to do with this
at that altitude, I suppose. Yeah, getting the right heat is probably quite difficult, is it, with the thinner air?
Yeah, it's up 1,070 meters high.
Wow. Yeah,
so we got mud, we got the snow, we can't bring too much material here because the road is small, and I can't bring a power hammer in my workshops. It's just impossible.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So, okay. It's old school.
Very traditional, very traditional. So I ask this question a lot, but I think your answers are going to be more relevant, really. So where do you get your consumables, like your steel, your G10, your hardwoods? I'm happy with my belts at the moment. I have them shipped from the US. I use Combat Abrasives because I think they supply the best belts. So I'm happy with them.
Yeah.
But when it comes to getting steels and things like that, I found nowhere in France.
For the moment, I'm buying my sand belts in a website which is called Prix Abrasif.
Right, okay.
That's the cheapest on the internet, but they're not really, 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 really good, but that's okay for the job I do.
Right. Okay.
I use ceramic band, belt.
Yeah. And what about steels? Where are you finding your steels?
I mostly use XC80 and C130 that I'm buying in Annecy. There's a factory who they sell special steels for the industry in my place, because my place in Cluse, just down the valley, is the biggest technologic working steel area.
Ah, you know, right, okay.
They do all the small pieces in steel, you know, like, I don't know, the bowl of your pen.
Ah, right, yes,
you see?
Yeah.
It's made here.
Ah, very nice. So, I suppose like Mont Blanc and all that, I suppose, is all around that area, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice, very nice. So I'm going to wrap up with the final question that I ask everybody. So, where do you find your inspiration? From who do you learn? And is that, you know, via their Instagram, via their YouTube? You know, who are the people that you really follow?
I got three guys. First is Fabien Damanet, who's a really nice, really good Belgian knife maker. He's working woods all the time. my other friend, who's an asshole, is Greg Pickup. Yeah. No, but he's really hard, you know, he's a really hard guy.
Yes,
hard-working guy.
Yes, yeah.
But he's doing such really good job. Good job.
That's Greg, such a French thing to say, my other friend, who's an asshole.
Yeah. So it's Greg Picard, and the other one is Brian Raquin, who's making mostly sandwich knives, sandmai knives, kitchen for the French market.
Yeah. Oh, right. I'll have to look him up. I'll have to look him up, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Brian Raquin is really good.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Julien, for taking the time out.
Well, my pleasure.
I know you're very busy, and I think specifically after being on the show.
yes, kind of.
Is there plans for that to happen again?
I'm going back to Forge in Fire in next year.
Ah, great, great.
For the moment, it's just a project. They told me I might come back because everybody loves me. I'm lucky. And I'm looking as well to make my own TV show.
Ah, fantastic.
Yes, about the Forge as well.
So is that just here in France, or is that a European thing? How would that work?
No, in France.
Ah, great.
In France. I'm looking for a producer for the moment, and it's coming slowly.
Yes, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I'll certainly keep my eye out for that one.
Yeah, no problem. Everything will be on my page anyway.
Great stuff. So where can people find you online?
The only place to find me is on Facebook. Even from Google, they can just Google my name, like Couteau de la Berchère.
Yep.
I'll
put that in the description for those that don't speak French.
Sorry, what did you say?
I'll put that in the description on the website for those who don't speak French.
Yes.
But great, so they can find you on there, they can contact you on there, and they can see your work.
Yeah, they can see my videos, they can see my work, they can have my phone number, everything is on Facebook.
Great stuff. Okay, well, again, thank you so much, Julien, for taking the time out.
Oh, thank you too.